railgun darts to punch down to the bedrock, then dropping automatic compression warheads down the hole to kill everyone below the surface. They had instead jumped in far away, so their slow approach would instill helpless terror in their powerless clients. The attack was conducted in a manner that might be described as casual, with no hurry to launch weapons and no objective other than complete destruction. Actually, both destroyers had recently been pulled from storage as long-term reserves, and their crews were still working up to the required level of proficiency. That pair of ships had been dropped off by their mother star carrier simply because the task group commander felt those destroyers needed to see action, and Capradru was an easy target. The destroyer crews treated the attack as a routine exercise, conducting only a brief sensor sweep of space around the planet before selecting targets for their weapons. If the sensor sweep had been more thorough, perhaps they might have detected that space around the planet was saturated with tiny micro-wormholes. "And we are go," Sims announced in a flatly calm tone from her station on Valkyrie's bridge. "In 5, 4. From my command chair, which, unlike in Star Trek, was positioned off to the right side so I could observe all the duty stations without blocking anyone's view of the holographic display sphere in the front, I tried to project a calm confidence. My mannerisms were modeled on James T. Kirk as best I could. I had done the lean, where I tilted my upper body to one side, elbow on the armrest, chin in one hand, eyes narrowed, considering what badass thing I would do next, or the crossed leg casual stance in the chair, being as cool as I could be. Also, the chin lift, thoughtfully staring down my nose at the display, in full command of the crew and situation. Currently, instead of a cool Kirk move, I was doing my trademarked Joe Bishop flop sweat. My back was again stuck to my shirt, and rather than being still and calm, my fingers were drumming on the console of the armrest. Worried that I might accidentally launch a missile, I forced my fingers to drape over the side of the console. Why was Jim Kirk cool under pressure and I was not? Because he relieved stress by doing the wild thing with hot babes across the galaxy, and I was not doing that. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. We had finished running the last attack scenario 3 days before the planned H hour. Then I ordered a full day of downtime for the crews of both ships. We brought Valkyrie close to the Flying Dutchman so dropships could shuttle people back and forth to get a change of scenery and visit friends. If some of those visits were conjugal in nature, that was none of my business. But it was certainly good for morale. I spent part of that off day playing and losing at video games. My life sucks. Anyway, by H hour, we were as ready as we could be. So I told Sims to give the order. Skippy took up the count from Sims. 3, 2, 1, showtime! Our massive battlecruiser jumped within 29 kilometers of the destroyer formation. Theoretically, a jump that close was impossible because of a field projected by the enemy ships that was supposed to prevent inbound jump wormholes from forming. In the Roach Motel, we had torn apart a Maxulk ship by jumping a dropship right on top of it, a feat only the awesomeness of Skippy could accomplish. Back then, the difficulty had been merely that the mass of the enemy ship caused our jump wormhole endpoint naturally to slide away from the ship, so Skippy had to compensate as only he could. In our attack against the pair of destroyers at Capradru, we also had to contend with an energy field that disrupted the formation of an inbound jump wormhole. That technology was a major advantage possessed by the Maxulks, who had copied the technology from the Rindaloo. And unlike most stolen technology, the Maxulk's version worked better than the original. Skippy thought the Rindaloo were simply too lazy to develop their own technology any further because they didn't need to. Lesser species like the Esselgin had also tried, without much success, to copy that tech. Anyway, even the awesomeness of Skippy had limits. If that Maxulk ship in the Roach Motel had that type of disruption field technology active, we would not have been able to blow it up. In our attack on the pair of destroyers, 29 kilometers was the closest Skippy could manage without damaging our jump drive. In space combat, 29 clicks is close. 29 kilometers left no time between the Maxulks detecting our inbound jump and our railgun darts slamming into their shields. Leading each volley of darts were particle beams searing the same area of enemy shields, and right behind each dart was a missile. In our first two volleys, the missiles were loaded with warheads designed to send a surge of